May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. Here's a question for you. If the wise men were so well wise, clever, how did they end up, in the first instance at least, in the wrong place? How was it that they ended up in Jerusalem when they should have been 6 miles down the road in Bethlehem? Not so wise after all, maybe. Huh? Well, as you might imagine, scholars have spent centuries trying to answer that question, and many theories have been produced. One of the theories, my personal favorite, is that the explanation lies in the fact that they were wise men. You see, if they'd been wise women, they would have stopped and asked for directions. Actually, that's a bit unfair. A bit unfair on us men generally, yes. But it's also unfair on these men because they did stop and ask for directions, didn't they? They weren't too embarrassed to ask for help. They went to Herod, and they went to his experts, and they pointed them in the right direction. Herod's experts said, in paraphrase, "You're close. You're very close. You're just out by 6 miles. You need to go south a little bit. You need to go down, not to Jerusalem, but to Bethlehem." And that's the detail, the bit of the story, I want to draw your attention to this morning. Those 6 miles, the difference between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Because in fairness to the wise men, it was a good guess. It was a good and obvious guess to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the natural, the obvious assumption to make. It was natural and obvious that the king of the Jews would be found in Jerusalem. It's the capital city, after all. Where else do you find a king? What's more, scholars tell us that at the time, Jerusalem may have had up to 80,000 inhabitants. 80,000. Maybe not a lot today, but in the first century, that is a big city. And not only is Jerusalem a large capital city, it's also, let's remember, the location of the temple. It's where the temple is. And the temple is no ordinary religious building. It's not just another synagogue. No, the temple is God's dwelling place on earth. In Jewish thinking, the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum of the temple, is the very dwelling place of God on earth. Wow. But there's even more. Not only is Jerusalem the capital city and site of the temple, but Jerusalem is also wealthy. It's wealthy, and it's self-confident, and it's secure, and it's safe. Because it's got big high walls around it to keep people out. And it's got lots of soldiers in it to keep the people inside safe. Where else would you expect to find a king? You could say, I think, if you think of Jerusalem as the London of its time, or the Washington, or the Paris, or dare I say Oslo. I don't know. It was certainly a reasonable assumption on the part of the wise men to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the obviously important, clearly very holy place, clearly very significant, powerful place. That's where you'll find a newborn king, of course. But as we know, that's not how it turns out. It turns out the wise men have to saddle up again and head south, 6 miles down the road to Bethlehem. Now, that's a pretty astonishing and rather shocking idea. After all, remember what Bethlehem was in comparison with Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, 80,000 people, huge. Bethlehem, I don't know, a few hundred people maybe. Jerusalem, the temple, God's dwelling place on earth. Bethlehem, no temple. Jerusalem, high walls giving security and big fancy buildings and king's palaces. Bethlehem, no walls, no big fancy buildings, no palaces. To go back to my Norwegian analogy, if Jerusalem is like Oslo, then Bethlehem is, I don't know, some small place way up in the north maybe, where they won't see the sun for the next few months. And yet that was where the wise men had to go. They had to go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. They had to go from big, self-important place to apparently unimportant place. They had to leave the place of security and privilege to go to the place of vulnerability and danger. They had to go from the place of wealth and power to the place of poverty and want. A short 6-mile journey, but it was a world of difference. And it was there in Bethlehem, of all places, that they found the newborn king, the Messiah. So you may be thinking, that's very nice, but what's it got to do with us? Well, the way I see it is like this. We're all a bit like those wise men, aren't we? We're all searching for something. Searching for God, maybe. Searching for meaning and purpose in our lives, maybe. And maybe like the wise men, we get a little lost sometimes. We end up in Jerusalem when we should be 6 miles down the road in Bethlehem. Like the wise men, we think maybe that we'll only find God only in the obvious places, in the big temples of this world, where the clergy wear fancy robes and say long prayers. But the message of today's gospel, the message of the gospel maybe, is that God is very often to be found in the unexpected places, in the small places, the obscure places, places like Bethlehem, where there's no temple, no elaborately robed priests, no soldiers making everybody feel safe, and no obvious signs of God's presence. And I have to tell you this. I will be 14 years ordained this year, 2019, 14 years. And in those 14 years, that has been my experience. More often than not, I have experienced something of God, not so much in the big grand places, but in the small, often unnoticed, often uncelebrated places. For example, I have seen God in the love of a family member sitting hour by hour by the bedside of their ill loved one. I have seen something of God in the vulnerability and courage of someone sharing a vulnerable part of their life story with me. And I have seen something of God in the work of the unsung heroes. You know those people who, without fuss or fanfare, simply get on with the work of welcoming strangers and feeding the hungry? And I have seen something of God, maybe you have too, in the quiet determination of those who've been hurt by life's tragedies, in their determination to hold on to hope and hold on to their faith. And you know what I've come to realize? That's where God is always to be found. Wherever love breaks down the high walls that we put around ourselves. Wherever vulnerability is acknowledged and shared. Wherever the wounded refuse to give up. As the old Latin phrase puts it, ubi caritas et amor Deus ibi est. Where love and charity and compassion are, there is God. There is God. No matter how unlikely the there might be. There's an old story, I think I've told it before, but hey, I'll tell it again. It's about a student who goes to his rabbi and says to the rabbi, I have a question for you, rabbi, one of these big theological questions. My big question is this: where does God live? Where does God live? And the rabbi smiles and said, where does God live? Wherever a human being lets God in. Wherever a human being lets God in. So folks, I don't know if you're still in the market for a New Year's resolution. Maybe the ones you made a few days ago have already fallen by the wayside. But here's my New Year's prayer. Here's a New Year's prayer for all of us. I pray that as we head into this new year, 2019, that we would have the grace and the courage to make that 6-mile journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. That we'd be given the grace to leave the places of safety and security, the Jerusalems, and go instead to Bethlehem. Go to the place of vulnerability and need, both in ourselves and in the world. And there in those small, undefended, unexpected places, there in those often overlooked places, there alongside often overlooked people, there we would, by God's grace, let God in. Let God in. May it be so for us. Amen. Amen.